A family who lived in Northroyd took the last photo of their sick Labrador. In the image is a blue orb near his head. It's a sign of reassurance and support. Hopefully they felt that as they put him down and when they look back on the picture. It's related to the throat chakra and was likely the Labrador trying to communicate to say it's okay. He had a lovely family, but unfortunately it's time to go. A public place you can check out on the corner of North Road and Reserve Street, Yallourn North, is St. Bridget's Catholic Church. Say hello to the lonely priest. The church was built in 1933. It seems one of the priests isn't able to let it go. There is an annex on the back that makes the church into a T-intersection. It's believed the priest who oversaw it planned to house Sunday school, fetes, dances and other church activities. It was added in 1950 by Reverend Walsh. He is still here and comes out to meet groups of people, excited and happy to meet you all. He wishes his church was busy and people come in. He loved his parish and wasn't able to let it go. It seems the monthly cycle of services isn't enough. There is a rattling noise heard here. This may be the sound of the community joining him in rattling tins to raise money for the extension. One warm summer's day, without a breeze moving the dust from the road, a delivery driver was in Quarry Road, searching for a property he had a delivery for. It took him some time to locate the house. It was as though it was purposefully obscured from him. He had driven the length of the road 3 times before seeing the house. When he finally saw it, he couldn't understand how he'd missed it before. As a seasoned delivery driver, this concerned him. Was he losing his touch? It was a nice day, but better to finish the job quickly rather than gallivant around the countryside. He knocked on the door as soon as he was within reach. He waited for the resident he could hear inside to answer the door. They weren't coming. He knocked again, feeling uneasy, as though he was being watched. It felt cold here despite the warmth of the day. Finally, the resident answered his knock. As they did, another door on the property slammed shut. The resident told him to leave. He explained he had a delivery, although he wished he could go, utterly creeped out standing there. She finally accepted the delivery. As he left, throwing one last look at the house, he thought it was as though he'd upset the delicate balance of the house. He refused all deliveries for Quarry Road after that. The next story is the reason locals think Quarry Road is haunted. Martin was a migrant, a resident of the Western Camp. He worked for the SEC alongside his eldest son who lived with him. His wife and other children were in the camp at Sale. He couldn't see them very often, and tensions rose between him and his wife. These were the usual tensions between separated migrant families. Wives feared that their husbands would prefer Australian women, and husbands worried their families would not need them. The conditions for most people immigrating was that they either spend 6 months in detention or 6 months working at Yallourn. Most people chose the latter. However, the family would still be detained if they couldn't work. Martin's son had some time off and was heading to Melbourne. Martin had asked him to buy a nice bottle of scotch. That was the last time he saw his father. Later that day, he left the camp telling another resident he planned to die. He had a length of rope and a blanket. Unfortunately, it was a different time and nobody did anything. 5 years later, two schoolboys on their way home veered off Quarry Road just a little bit, where they discovered Martin's body. His bones were burned, but his boots and a length of rope were wrapped at the bottom of the tree. It was recorded as a suicide. However, why would you do that? before having your last whiskey. And how did Martin's skeleton become burned? Yet, the boots and rope remain. We hope Martin's found peace. But it would make sense if he haunts the road seeking vengeance. A lady who lived in Yulon North bought a lovely sideboard for the entrance hall of her house. The mood in the house shifted, although she thought nothing of it. Weird and inexplicable things happened, just mildly. One night, the children were on their way to bed, when they called out, "Mom, there's a lady who went into the table!" "What?" Mom called back, coming into the hallway. "A lady wearing a funny old dress disappeared into the table." After school drop-off, she dropped off the sideboard at an op shop. She was not having it. A local walked her dogs along Bailey Street as dusk approached. The temperature was falling without a breeze. Her dog stopped still. As she looked down to pick up the dog to get home, she noticed her shoelace was untied. Crouching down to deal with the tripping hazard, wrapped in the all-absorbing quietness of Bailey Street, she looked up, ready to stand, when the tree beside her shook with the force of an earthquake. Only no other tree in the yard or nature strip moved. No animal emerged from the bush. Chills ran down her spine. As she looked past the tree towards the clean white home, sadness emanated from it. Initially, this house was built in the 1960s with a family who had happy memories there. Several people have bought the house since that family moved out, but the subsequent families have confirmed it is haunted, but they don't know why. The currently haunted house has had no tragedies. But the house next door did. A disaster so epic it trapped a babe and a mother. The baby left the womb as an angel. However, unable to find the way they couldn't go, the mother was unable to move past her loss and wanted to be reunited with her baby. Since the other house had fallen vacant and dreary, it seems the mother and babe were attracted to the activity during the renovations. A baby cries intermittently as though there is a real baby in the house. The tired, sad mother is the only one who never seems to hear the baby. Pacing up and down the hallway, sitting forlornly in the window, looking at and sometimes seen by people passing, wherever she is an icy coldness. The family who lived there didn't fear the ghost mother or her sadness that followed. Though no families appreciate the infant's spontaneous cries, unfortunately forever parted. This is the last ghost story of the Brown Coal Mine area so far, and I have saved the most creepy places in the Latrobe Valley, Lake Narragan. There have been losses of lives. Some are memorialized down on the jetty. Further along the banks towards the power station have had the most tragic history and paranormal experiences. It is a place with three unexplained deaths in about the same spot within a large house block area around a massacre site. It is rather involved, so without further ado. The first unexplained death was in 1918. It was late April. The kids were in bed while Charles and Maria were discussing doing a perimeter search of their property in Hazelwood Station. Charles was sure some cattle hustlers were stealing their cows. Maria just wanted to be home at a reasonable time, because this was not the first time. She'd been going out with him nearly every night, getting back as the sun was rising and the kids were stirring. She felt she needed to go with him because years earlier he was involved in a cycling accident. The accident left him with memory lapses and altered mental capacity. Today we'd probably call it an acquired brain injury. This occurred during their engagement. A few weeks before he was set to marry Maria, he vanished, heading off into the thick bush without provisions. 3 weeks later, he surfaced, having survived living rough, found sleeping on his mother's couch. When he awoke, he had no knowledge of where he'd been or why he'd left. By this night, they'd been married for 7 years. Charles' paranoia was growing every day. Just before leaving, Maria told her sister they were going out again. However, they were taking their engraved watches so they'd be home at a decent time. This was the last time they were heard from. 2 days later, a rifle broke out through the bush. A man on horseback galloped to investigate. There he found Maria near the Latrobe River, with a gunshot wound through her temple. Her felt hat lay nearby, showing the rifle had been 2 feet from her body when fired. This place where Maria fell is the haunted area on the banks of the Latrobe River in the Halls Bay area. Maria had a tough lot in life, living with a man who chased shadows. Maybe her death caused her to become consumed, especially because she left behind a 3-year-old and 3-month-old. Instantly, a search for Charles was commenced, because they assumed whether by accident or purpose he was Maria's killer. The police employed Aboriginal trackers who were hunting up the haunted hills. The search was called off due to unsafe weather conditions. Later, a body found near Jembrook was identified as Charles' body because he was carrying Charles' watch. Incredibly, after being buried under the name of Charles, this was disproven when Charles's actual body was found 100 metres from where the search was called off. They knew it was him with his homemade rubber boots, gun and rifle, and a bottle of strychnine. He had gunshot damage to his head. In 1924, Catherine, a 68-year-old laundry lady in a one-bedroom weatherboard hut, on an oddly shaped allotment that grew vegetables, on that same patch of land Maria Whitelaw was found, located in a remote place on the Latrobe River. Catherine, a war widow, previously lived in a tent constructed of bags that she'd sewed, which she'd recently converted into a kitchen and laundry when her weatherboard hut was built. She laundered and stitched clothes for the employees of the State Electrical Commission. One night, when Catherine was winding down reading the newspaper, somebody entered her home. She sat in an old chair opposite the door, holding the apple she was in the middle of eating. The assailant took the tomahawk she kept beside the door and used it on the left side of her head. The knickknacks and furniture she had were sprayed with blood that nothing removed. She was lying in a pool of her own blood, fully dressed, in the clothes she'd worn that Sunday. Her double bed in her single room dwelling was not must. Her glasses with broken lens were found in the metal that kept the fire in place. Nothing in the room was obviously disturbed, apart from the sight of Catherine on the floor surrounded by blood. Her son-in-law found her. He reported the death to the postmaster and general store owner in the Brown Coal Mine Township, who communicated with police. He was accused of the murder, then acquitted. Catherine's murderer was never brought to justice, and I wonder if she was able to let it go, or maybe Catherine's murderer was paranormal. Because a year later, a family, all asleep in their tent on the same lot, woke to the crib with the baby in it being burned, but nothing else in the tent alight. Unfortunately, they didn't wake early enough to save the baby. This is why the area is haunted. There have also been many, many people who drowned swimming in the river. Thank you for your ears, dear listeners. I hope the Brown Coal Mine ghost stories have given you a greater understanding of the mysteries of this area or chills you've been looking for. Tell us if you've had the nerve to listen on location. If you check out hauntedhills.com.au, you can also find the details to undertake the self-guided tour. If you want to support the podcast and get early access, ad-free, and participate, you can sign up on Patreon or write a review. Reviews help us to grow and continue to share these stories with more people. If you like this, please share it with your friends. This podcast was produced, researched, written, and narrated by me, Tegan Dawson, on Gunai Kurnai Land in Moi, Victoria. Never ceded. Sound engineering and music by Aronestin Music. Next time in the Haunted Hills, we'll be telling the history of Rosedale, Victoria. This small town has big stories. Patrons will be able to hear the story of Catherine performed in a different style with another voice actor. As I researched her account, it hit me in the feels hard. I first came across the story when researching mysterious deaths in the brown coal mine, and came across a 31-word article about Catherine. However, it missed her first name, called her a pensioner. I felt it minimized her so much that I searched for more details. And boy, did she have a life. This woman was strong, as with so many challenges to overcome, only to die by mysterious circumstance or murder. However you see it, it's so sad she wasn't able to go quietly in the night. I could go on, and I do for patrons. You can follow us for more small towns, big stories on the socials, Facebook, Haunted Hills Pod, Twitter at haunt_hills, or on our pod website, Haunted Hills or hauntedhillstours.com.au. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day.